This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Cowboy fans, how the hell are you? Hey, folks, we don't have Steve-O today. We got Rodney. We got our big-time Rob. I call him Rob Bass, our blog guy's on with us today, too. Rodney, how you doing?
Doing well. How's everything going around here?
We are doing good. We are doing good. Rob, how are you?
Fantastic.
Glad to be with you. That's great. We haven't had any of your blogs. Can't wait for that football season to start, man. You're pretty damn good with that.
Getting geared up.
I'll tell you what, though. Doc, our man Doc, he's been putting up some nice picks on our Cowboy site. People have been chiming in on that. Have you guys checked that out lately?
I have not. I apologize.
Well, you're supposed to still say you have. For the love of God.
I don't lie. Sorry. Again, we talk about this all. You know, I got a day job, Jono.
You still go to the site. It's your site.
I'll do it first thing after we leave here, Jono. Right, I promise.
Thank you.
Of course, I'll look.
Have you guys seen the news lately with D'Angelo Williams? What's going on with him?
Honestly, I did hear about it, and I could not give. Sorry, I can't cuss, so I could care less.
He doesn't want ass.
Well, I was going to say something worse than that, but I don't give a rat's ass.
Okay,
if he doesn't want to play for us, I don't want him anyway.
Right.
He wants to call us poor losers. Whatever, that's fine. Next.
Yeah.
We don't need you. Yeah. So,
Rob, what was that all about? When did he come in this equation?
When he put himself into the equation, nobody said we wanted you.
Yeah.
He just throws it out there that he wouldn't want to play for Dallas because their fans are terrible and they disappear in the postseason and we're still whining about the Dez catch. And, you know, it's all, he's irrelevant. I mean,
well, it seems
we don't
need
to me. A third-string running back, so
right.
Thanks.
I think if we wanted someone like Morris, we would have probably kept Morris. So, honest to God, it just seems to me that he's trolling us more than we're trolling him, because how would we know how we feel about that catch still out there?
Right.
Right.
You know, let him do his thing. He's going to go. Honestly, I didn't even know who he played for last year. So, yeah. Again, I don't think our season is going to be made or broken by whether or not D'Angelo Williams wants to play for us or not.
Right.
We've got other things that we need to worry about, and we're fine.
Dude, I am convinced with having McFadden back there as our backup, and just I don't even consider. Do you consider him as a backup? I mean, he's going to be switched back and forth with Zeke.
Yeah, I think at this stage of his career, he probably is better suited as a backup or a combo. I don't think he's a 30 carry a game guy at this point. Not because he's not still talented and capable. It's just that, you know, let's be honest, he's on the back end of his career. So whenever that happens, if we use him effectively, keep him fresh, we saw what he can do when he's healthy and fresh rather than, you know, and prime example, if we need him to step up early in this season, let's let him run. And then if for some reason Zeke has, you know, we'll get to that next. But my point is, let's keep him, you know, the fresher your running backs are, the more effective they are throughout the entire season rather than running them into the ground. And then on the back end, they're starting to wear down.
Okay. And Rob, going to the next question, which Rodney was getting into there for a second, what about this whole thing with Zeke? Everyone's talking, you're seeing it on Facebook left and right, that there could be a suspension that I'm totally, totally against, okay? But I think McFadden could fit in pretty good there.
Oh, he could. He absolutely. I'm glad that we've got him, and he'll do just fine in the, like Rodney was saying, in the, you know, for those short bursts. You wouldn't want him to be your workhorse carrying the load for the whole season, but to fill in during a short absence or just to spell him in a game. Right. McFadden's more than capable. The fact that Elliott could even face a short suspension is a travesty. And I think the NFL's overreaching, and they're trying too hard to compensate and make up for the mistakes that they made in the past with some other suspensions that they got wrong. And I think they've been trying too hard to make something stick to Zeke. In my mind, if it goes through our society's court system and they're found guilty, I think absolutely the NFL should deal with it. But to be their own justice department, basically, in the NFL, to hand out these suspensions when there's no legal problem, I think is a bit overreaching. And I think that they've been dangling Elliott for way too long. He's had it hanging over his head for way too long. Not that he's helped himself with some of his behavior, in
right.
that parade and whatnot, acting like a knucklehead. Kind of kept the spotlight on him when it, might have, if he just kept his head down, it might have went away.
That's a good call. That's a very good call. You know what it gets to me, fellas? Let me bring this up. Now, if they give him, let's say they give him two games for this, okay? On suspicion or something like that. Now, that two games, he serves and it's over. Let's say 2 years from now, they find a videotape of something with Zeke on it. Now, they're going to look a lot worse that they gave Zeke two games 2 years back for something like that than what they could in the presence 2 years later and say, hey, you know what? You're gonna have to pay for that, and we're gonna give you 6, 7, or 8. I don't know what the suspension
right.
with whatever he did, but if you give him two games now, and then you find some videotape on him 2 years later, you're really underselling yourself. You're making yourself look like more of an idiot, Goodell.
Yeah, we touched on this last week about how messy this system has now become. Because and why it's such a slippery slope, and we touched on it, in so many different angles last year. Now, from the NFL's defense, they'll say, "Well, we didn't have this information at the time." They'll do what they do; they'll dance around it. The overall problem, the bigger problem, part of what Rob has just touched on, and how they're overreaching, and I expressed my own opinion on that last week about it's never going to be a perfect system, and Rob said it. He said they backed themselves into a bad corner with the Ray Rice situation, and that's why we have this today, and it's such a delicate topic to talk about domestic violence, and say that. Well, there's no legal charges coming against him, so there shouldn't be anything. And we talked about how the women are
no,
huge
I,
NFL
I,
fans.
I get
and
all that.
So
we
know, but I'm just trying to I'm explaining the reason why the NFL has put themselves in yet another precarious position. They backed themselves into the corner for being too lenient on everything, and now the pendulum is swung in the complete opposite direction, and this is the result where these things continue to linger, and it's not doing anyone any good. It makes the NFL look bad. It makes the player look bad, fairly or unfairly. They all look pretty bad in this situation right now.
Rob?
Jono, in your scenario that you were setting up where if something comes out in the future, I just wanted to make sure that I understood correctly. You're saying, in 2 years, if Ezekiel has something come up that's unrelated to this issue?
No, I'm saying related to this issue, a video that comes out that says that shows something like Rice, that he's already served
right.
his two-game suspension for this, and now you're gonna throw the book at him again? When you threw the
right.
book at him before it for two games,
kind of a double jeopardy situation.
It's a double jeopardy, and to me,
right.
it's a catch 22, and damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you're Zeke, because you haven't done anything, and now you're gonna serve two games, and I don't see a win situation for the NFL. Why give the man two games?
No.
Because then. if you find something out on this guy 2 years down the line, then you're going to look like a more of an idiot that you only gave him two games.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And that's, you know, that goes to the argument that I think that they should just get out of the dispensing justice system and wait for the legal system to take care of whatever it is. And when the legal system has run its course and that person ends up being found guilty or innocent, guilty or not guilty, then you make your decision on what the punishment should be in regards to the workplace.
I totally agree.
It cannot be just a system on its own, obviously. They've made it very clear that they can't handle it. And I don't know if anybody could. It's an unwinnable situation, like you were saying. Now, what I was getting around to when I was asking you for the clarification is there's also the side that even though Zeke has not been found guilty of any of these, hasn't even gone to trial, hasn't been taken to court, you hand down a suspension. And then let's say, just like you were saying, 2 years, let's say another problem comes up that is unrelated to that. Well, now he's already served a two-game suspension for something else. He already has something on his record that you can't go to two games, already given him two games. So any future problems will have a harsher penalty than it should.
All right, this one
shouldn't
right.
even be there in the first place.
Right. You don't even think about that.
Right. No, I kind of want to ask Rob. And so let's just use the Ray Rice thing, for example, where the charges
right.
were dismissed.
I think we're using Ray Rice totally now, aren't we?
It is. Well, and that's the precedent for where this policy is today, because he was not going to be suspended. There was no charges pending. And then this video comes out after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So then what does the NFL do? Should they have not done anything in that situation? Should they not have done anything? I mean, he's pretty much been blackballed from the NFL altogether now, but his charges
right.
were dismissed, you know? But
right.
we've seen it on video.
Yep.
We saw exactly what he did. So do they do anything in that situation?
See, I think if they wouldn't have jumped the gun in the first place, and then that video comes out and they take care of it in civil,
right?
And they take care of it in criminal court or whatever, then the NFL can always fall back on, you know, we're just waiting for the legal system to play out.
Right.
And
perfect.
The charges were dismissed. Nothing. Oh, now there's a video. Now the NFL doesn't have to backtrack and it doesn't have egg on its face.
Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Bravo. I agree with you guys totally on that.
Yeah.
Let's say everything does work out. Let's say everything does work out. And Zeke, are we giving him the same workload as we did last year? How many touches per game are? I'll start with you, Rodney. How many would you like to see per game?
Well, we'll let him dictate how does he feel, how does he look throughout the season. But early on, he's going to be our bread and butter. I don't see any reason as to why he can't receive the same workload that he did last year. Maybe if McFadden is healthier. Shows a little bit more burst, maybe he can get a few extra touches. But by and large, I think Zeke's going to be in the same ballpark he was last year. So to answer your question, when Dallas was rolling last year, they were running the ball and they were playing play action from there. Zeke was effective early. They got the ball rolling. So I think a good, healthy 20 to 25 touches.
Rob?
I think I agree with all of that. And I don't know that we're going to be in the same position if the division's a little tighter going down the stretch. I don't think we're going to be able to see Zeke take the final five quarters of the season off. And I'm not suggesting that he wanted to take him off. I mean, I'm just, you know,
yeah.
I didn't agree with how they were. You know, I think that he can handle the load. And with the running back situation in the NFL these days, the trend is to use him up and draft somebody new. There's not going to be any more Emmitt Smith coming along, I don't think, that carry the load for 10 years. So I say, you know, use him. And I think he should have been over 2,000 yards last year. He should have. I mean, the fact that he got the NFL rushing title and he didn't play the final five quarters of the season is just amazing.
Right.
So,
well, you know, that's a real good point.
On the other hand, they have a lot of weapons.
That's a real good point right there. What Rob just brought up was, you know what, they didn't play him the last couple games there. And, well, I think they played half of second game to the last.
Yeah.
I really wondered about that because in that playoff game against Green Bay, in the first half, he wasn't the same Zeke busting through that hole
right.
as he was in the second half of that Green Bay game. Now, if you had given the man the ball in that Philadelphia game,
yeah.
maybe, just maybe, he would have kept. I don't know, Rodney.
No, I mean, I don't disagree with you, and that's what makes it such a good topic to discuss. We talked about this last year, you know, and I was perfectly fine with him sitting out because we all would sit back and say, "You've got to be shitting me." He just tore his ACL in a game that didn't matter. You know what
right.
I mean? And now we don't have him for the playoffs.
Right.
Then we're pissing and moaning and, you know, losing our stuff on this end. So it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. You want him to succeed and break those records. He was very deserving of it. He earned every yard. You know, he runs the ball. I love the way he runs. He runs hard, straight at you, straight through you. So, you know.
Right. So I didn't really get a number from you guys.
I said 20 to 25.
You said 20, 25? Yeah. I don't think – I think I'd like to see
but
a little bit more.
I think just to that point, Rob just brought up a great point just to elaborate on. We have a lot of weapons too. So what's the game going to dictate that day? What's the defense going to be trying to do? You know, if we got to throw the ball to Desmore, I'm okay with that too, right? If he's open, you know,
right.
et cetera, whatever. And some of the other new talent wide receiver that we have or whatever the case is, we're going to have to let the defense dictate what, you know, we're going to try to do what we do first. And if they take something away, we've got plenty of weapons and options.
It's definitely going to be
I also think you're going to see Zeke more in the passing game this year than last year.
I would like to see that, yeah.
As in what? As in a little swing passes, screen passes? What
yeah.
type of plays are we going to see a lot more of?
Yeah, I think that those are the type of plays you're going to see more of. And so I think maybe combined yardage, you know, might be more important than rushing yardage with Zeke coming up. He showed he can do it, and I think they're going to probably rely on that even more this year.
Right, right. Which Cowboy offensive player do you see having just a downright beautiful season? I mean, just taking full advantage of the offense and just capitalizing off of the other players and all that.
Boy, that's a great question.
I just came up with it. Thank you.
Well, that's why they pay you the big bucks, John. I think
how about them Cowboys?
Without, you know, not thinking about it beforehand, just kind of winging it, I want to see something more out of Terrence Williams this year. I want to see him take the next step, and I think he has the ability to do that. We all know he has the ability. Is he going to do it? Dez is where he's at. Now we have Cole Beasley and Switzer
right.
in the slot type positions or running that sort of thing. So,
and don't
again,
forget our tight ends.
Right. No, of course, we have like a stable of tight ends right now. So we have, you know, there's going to be a lot of options. So, if again, what's the defense going to do for us that day? And then they can't cover everyone. They can't cover everyone the same way. They can't double team everyone. So maybe Terrence can take that next step and, in a way, have a number one type year for a number two receiver on this team.
Rob?
That's a great point. I'd love to see it. Because the more success that he has, it just feeds. It's a cycle. And the more success he has, that means the less they can double team Dez. And the less they double team Dez, the more success he's going to have. And there's just so many ways for the Cowboys to kill you. That if Terrence steps up his game, it's going to be tough to deal with.
I think, fellas, I really think if you're looking for the best fantasy player this year, I'm going with Beasley, and I'll tell you why. Because I think the middle, 10-15 yard middle, is going to be wide open for the Cowboys to just exploit. I think you're going to see these wideouts that are going to be taking a lot of DBs back,
mm-hmm.
15, 20, 30 yards back, and you're gonna leave the 5, 6, 10 yards open all the time. And I see Beasley catching the ball on a little slant and turning this into a 12, 13-yard gain every time.
Yeah, especially if you're in a PPR, points per reception type league, Beasley would definitely be coveted, I would think.
But I definitely see the linebackers are going to be on their heels all the time thinking it's going to be a run play.
Yep.
I think they're going to be focusing on Zeke. I think on a play action, they're going to get sucked up. I see Beasley again.
Yeah.
May lead this team in pass receiving.
Yeah, I sound so boring. I say it so often. When we are at our best, Zeke is running, like you just said, that he's got the attention of those linebackers. Then you run the play action, and that opens up exactly what you're talking about, because the linebacker's first step is going to be towards the line at Zeke.
Right.
You pull the ball back, you roll out a little bit, and there's Beasley, like you said, 10, 15 yards down the field.
Right.
And like he's always been, if he's going to be at his best, he will be effective in that range. And it's because Zeke is running the ball well.
So who would you guys take on your offensive threat for the Cowboys as your fantasy player?
I think you already picked it.
You got Beasley,
too? I think so, yeah. Because he's going to he may not have a huge yardage numbers, but he's going to catch a ton of balls.
What about you, Rob?
I think I'm taking Zeke.
You're taking Zeke, yeah. Well, yeah,
can't go wrong with that one either.
Yeah,
yeah.
I you know what? I probably end up with Zeke as well. I got to abandon that because, you know what, Zeke. I mean, he's given you the guy. I bring it up all the time.
He's a threat to score from anywhere on the field at any time.
And not only that, Rob, but we're not seeing from the past that that third down and one. He's gonna get you that 1.5, 2 yards every time. It's not. Those times when we were always short 1 yard and Romo drops back the pass, I'm like, run the ball.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't do it. Now, third down and 6 inches, 7 inches, forget about it.
More than that, I'm okay. Run the ball on third and three. He's going to fall forward for 3 yards.
You know
he should, right?
So
you know,
right. You're so right.
Yeah, no, it opens up your entire playbook on every down. You know, like you don't become one-dimensional at that point. When you know you have a running back that can get you a tough 3 or 4 yards on third down, then you can turn around and hand the ball off to him, right? I mean, as simple as that.
Right. If we know Zeke is this important to us as fans, and Jerry's just sitting up there seeing this on the media, seeing this on Facebook, seeing this all over God's creation with what Zeke's going through right now, does he pull back a little bit like he did with Dez and go, you know what, I'm gonna have a guy kick back with you now?
He's
this is your guy. He's gonna tuck you in bed at midnight and all the good stuff. Meet your new partner. And this is him.
I would be surprised if they haven't already at least had those discussions already, given how, he's been in the limelight, so to speak, and not always in a particularly good light. I'm with you. If they haven't done it yet, it's time. Just to help him mature and be smarter about what he's doing. I was a dumb kid, too. Just I didn't have $10 million in my pocket when I did it.
It's Rob, it's not a hard sell considering you could tell him, if you're Jerry, you look at him and go, hey, I've got Dez that I had him do this. So you're nothing special here, son.
Right. And I think that the Cowboys probably, I don't know, I'm not a follower of other teams. So, I'm just going to make this kind of statement based on what I've seen, but I'm sure that there's not another team in the NFL that's better or more equipped for dealing with these kind of issues. And that goes all the way back to the Michael Irvin days when they had to bring in like Calvin Hill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it that started kind of that player mentor could deal with that stuff in house? And I think that they've only expanded on it since then. So I think that they're doing what they can. But the bottom line is you can't hire enough people to babysit every single one of these guys 24 hours a day. And they're going to make boneheaded decisions once in a while. As we've seen a couple of our guys already this year, we'll be sitting out the first couple of games. But, again, and Zeke's in a tricky position. I think you could sell it to him, but at the same time, I don't know. Maybe he's kind of big time, and I don't know how he would take it.
Yeah. Do you know? Do you guys know the latest on Damian Wilson? What's going on with him?
I have not. I mean, he's facing two felony counts, is what I know. My guess is he probably hasn't had his next court date anyway.
Yeah,
he's probably only been arraigned so far. That's about it.
Wow, that's such a shame, too.
It is. I mean,
you're on the rise. You got the world by your balls there. You got everything going in the right direction.
Yeah. No.
Why do they do that? Why can't they stay straight? Jesus Christ.
When somebody, I'm sure this other person, I don't know if they tried to target him, but if they know you're an NFL player these days or you're a professional athlete, you can become a target very quickly. And, they'll.
There's no excuses.
No, absolutely. There's mean, no.
We got people working in the factory, working everywhere.
Let me finish. My point is that being accosted like that, but it's the presence of having that gun in his car with him was the problem. Where we would all be pissed off, we would all be angry going back to our car. The difference is hopefully you would get in your car and leave.
Right.
But then you have the gun in there and you grab it and pull it out. It escalates in a matter of a flash. And his life changed in that instant right there, potentially. Right? And, it's tough because when you do, you and I have probably all been picked on at some point in time in our life, or someone just badgered us over and over again. Like, it's just boiling, right? And, I don't know all the ins and outs of that situation.
I've never thought about anything like that, though.
Pulling
out a gun or
no
anything like that.
No, I get you. I'm just saying it was the presence of the gun that changed the dynamic of that situation in a flash.
Right. Rob?
Yeah, you want those, you understand, because of what Rodney's talking about with those, if people know who you are, I'm sure that, I can't blame those guys for doing what they got to do to feel safe. At the same time, when you're holding a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. And so when you've got that gun and that's an option, that becomes a trump card right there. And, not Donald Trump, not making a political statement. I mean,
right.
This is how I end this.
Yep.
And instead of ending it, it only started it.
Yep. Great point.
Do you guys think that when you're a high profile team, and we'll get to the high profile team in a second, from what Forbes has got us at, I mean, you're looking at everyone wants to see you, everyone's talking about you, and whoever doesn't like you would love to exploit you. I mean there's got to be something internally in the Dallas Cowboys organization that lets their players know that, hey, you're under the microscope, man.
Yeah.
I mean, honest to God, you got to be really when you're out there. I mean, when Zeke's got two chicks sitting there flipping off the someone right there in the car, and he's holding a purse like a whacked out individual. I mean, come on, man. You gotta get your head on straight, man.
Yeah, they have this rookie symposium at the beginning when the rookies come in. It's supposed to. I mean, it's kind of like it's like an HR fluff job. It's what a lot of those things are.
Yep.
Because until they experience it in real life on their own, we've all sat in seminars and conference rooms and been bored to tears over that stuff. Until they face it in real life, they don't know how to respond to it. And again, we're talking about 20, 21, 22, 23, young individuals who have the world in their hand, and in an instant when they sign that contract and they get that guaranteed money and their life changes, and it's tough for them to evolve into becoming an adult, because it's all of us, when we've all become adults now, but it took us time, right? That was part of growing up and going through high school, college, and then learning how to be on our own and all those things. And now they're on their own, but they have $10 million in the bank all of a sudden.
Right.
What do you do with it? It's tough. It's a tough situation.
And it was tough. It was tough for us to grow up and evolve. And God knows I made my own boneheaded decisions when I was their age. but I also didn't have the protection that a lot of these guys have had throughout their life of being put on a pedestal and protected, and anything that they do wrong gets swept under the rug or dealt with behind the scenes so they can continue to play on Friday or Saturday or Sunday. And when everybody's telling you you're the man your whole life, mm-hmm. then when somebody brings you into a meeting after you've signed that $10 million check and says, now you got to be careful, make sure you act the right way, everything in your life up to that point has illustrated otherwise.
Right.
You don't have to. So, you know, I don't know how much I think that they're doing all they can to educate these guys, but they all think they're invincible, immortal. And time will tell. Some guys fail, some guys succeed.
I think the one that failed in my mind that Rams running back?
Lawrence Phillips.
Oh,
man.
My gosh.
He was on top of the world at Nebraska, and you looked at him and go, wow, this kid,
physically, he might have been the most athletic running back. You know what I mean? Like, he's right up there. Whenever you look at him physically and see what he was actually capable of.
He was as big as Billy Sims. I would say, like, a framed up like Billy Sims. And he probably ran like a Tony Dorsett.
Exactly. He was a dangerous combination.
Yeah. I mean, that's a dangerous twosome to put there. And I just didn't ever put it together.
He was troubled.
Mentally.
The cards were dealt against him his entire life as a child and going through in high school and everything else. He had no guidance in his life whatsoever, and then there's probably some underlying, you know, mental illness and other things to go with it. He just never was able, just couldn't put it together, unfortunately.
Rob, would you say that one would be probably the biggest tragic story of running backs in my time, in your time?
Of running back,
yeah,
for sure. Yeah. I mean, to go from he could have had it all to, I mean, a lot of these guys like Rolland and McClain and guys like that, you see, they wasted their talent, but they're still alive.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what makes Phillips's case just so even sadder. Is like, not only do you go to prison, but then you you die in prison. I mean, that's just,
It's
tremendously sad.
Yeah. Let's move on to our Dallas Cowboys again. And, Forbes magazine declared the Cowboys, once again, the most profitable franchise in sports throughout the entire world, worth $4.2 billion. $4.2 billion.
Pretty good return on investment, huh?
That's crazy.
Heck yeah. What did he buy it for back in 89, 90? What the hell was that?
Don't know the exact number, but
it was under $200 million.
Yeah,
it was under $200 million. It was 150, 180, something like that.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ!
And that included the stadium.
I wish I knew him back then. Hey, can I be your friend?
If it was only that easy.
I think about that all the time with guys like Facebook and I go, man, I wish I was friends with these guys, IBM people and all that. I wish I hung out with those little nerds.
Right, no
in
kidding.
The garages.
If I would have known what I know now.
Yeah. And that was our era, too. But, $4.2 billion, and that's just amazing money. And I think the New York Yankees come in second here at 3.7. Manchester United.
$500 million, the Cowboys. $500 million over over second place. That's,
yeah.
Amazing.
That's unreal. That's unreal. Huh. Yeah, who would think that, you know? I mean, $4.2 billion.
I can't fathom that kind of number, but I do know that they sell jerseys and tickets. You know what I mean? Like,
in all fairness, though, why
they make that kind of money.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why right now. You got an owner with his family that really care about their team. Now, you got other teams, you got other owners that all they want to do is make money. And in the long run, this is what pays off.
Mm-hmm.
That does not pay off.
Yep.
When you take shortcuts, and that's just what our moms or dads have always taught us, that you take the long way home, you get your hands dirty, this is what you do, and it'll pay off in the long run. Well, this Jones family has done that. And, I mean, this thing has strived. $4.2 billion, are you kidding me? They got a practice field that St. Louis, Missouri would make their NFL team.
Right.
I mean, right now they got a tax thing in St. Louis. They would shoot it down.
Yeah.
And Jerry said, build it in Frisco, Texas, and we'll use that as a practice field.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Anyway. That's the difference in ownership.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right there.
And also, not only has he made the Cowboys the most valuable sports franchise in the world, at the same time, you got to give him credit, deservedly going into the Hall of Fame, because if you look at that whole list of 50 on the Forbes list, I think when I initially read it, I read that there was only a small handful of NFL teams that didn't make the top 50. And, I mean, if you think about it, the rising tide lifts all boats kind of thing. You know, he bought the Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys, probably the most prominent franchise at the time that he bought it, even though they'd gone through a little rough stretch. He bought it for under $200 million. Today, just looking at this list right now, if you wanted to buy the Jacksonville freaking Jaguars, you couldn't touch them for less than $1.95 billion.
That's crazy.
And that's because of Jerry Jones.
Nope, you're absolutely
Jerry
right.
Jones and what he's done with the marketing in the NFL and those TV contracts.
No, you're right. I don't want to say terrible things about the Jacksonville Jaguars or anything, but they're like Rob just they're worth 1.95 and they are terrible.
They're horrible.
They're horrible. And you know what I mean? Yeah, no, I mean that's just
terrible.
They are. They're horrible.
Not just the product on the field. I mean it's like
they're terrible.
They're terrible.
Yeah. I just seen Barkley sitting next to me.
How much farther can the Cowboys go with this? Can they make it even more profitable? When's the bubble going to burst?
Well, if ever.
You know what I'm saying? How much further could they really go?
Well, fellas.
How much further can those TV contracts go up?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what's the limit on those as we're seeing ESPN in terrible financial trouble?
Mm-hmm.
And they've got part of that NFL package. They've got part of that contract. And you wonder where that bubble is, those contracts.
When's Jerry going to have a sit-down with Goodell and just look at him square in the eye and go, why don't you get the hell off my ass? Honest to God, this is my best player. You've got me on every damn weekend, every primetime game. And everyone wants to see Zeke play, and you want to bench him? You want to suspend him? What the hell are you thinking, man?
Right.
I mean, honest to God, if the guy did something, I'm all for it. But here you are trying to wave your whatever around and act like a big man on the block. We're the ones keeping this thing afloat.
Yeah. That's actually always been one of my kind of great fascinations, particularly with the NFL, on how good those relationships all are behind closed doors. Just because you bring up a great point. Why would Roger Goodell want to remove
this
one of the best
cash
players?
Cow.
Exactly. So, but that's my point. Is I'm curious. Are Roger and Jerry Jones really kind of arch enemies, or behind closed doors? Or are they? You know what I mean. That's just my. It's like what happens at death. We don't know until it happens, right? It's kind of just one of those things that I've always been fascinated with. You know, like what the mindset is and what, you know, because it's a very elite club. Right. You know, the metagame in that situation is much different than it is kind of with us in our own lives, you know, and sorry, I'm going off on a tangent, but just curious. Yeah, because I want to know, like, are they buddies or do they hate each other or is it part of an entertainment piece?
And, I think it's all about
money. You know, exactly. And they're both driven by money. And
I don't think anyone likes to hang out and have a beer and go fishing
right
afterwards. I don't think these guys are like that. I think it's all driven by money. And I definitely think that I'd like to know this, Rob. Who do you think is out there giving this whole notion on the suspension and all this out there? I mean, if Goodell's not talking, if this person's not, where the hell is all this coming from?
That's a great question, and I have no clue. I don't have any idea where the Schefters of the world and those guys get their, you know, who they're talking to.
I mean that's my thing. If Goodell's not talking right now, where's this information coming from? And you know, I just don't know, because if Jones is doing some public relations right now with Goodell and saying, hey, this has got to stop right now, and everything's calmed down, and then all of a sudden this pops up again, when's this going to stop? So I don't know, and I'm getting tired of it, but I'm not getting tired of you folks out there downloading our show. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to Google Play at CowboysPodcast.com, my friend. Every day you guys are downloading, and I'm checking you guys out on Facebook, too. A lot of people checking us out. 110,000 impressions this week. Can you believe that? People just checking our page
right.
out.
That's great.
That's unbelievable. I think we got like over 16,000 fans right now on our show.
No kidding. That's great. Let's keep it moving. Tell a friend. And tell a family member.
I really think, Rob, by
tell another fan.
By football season, by midway football season, I think we're going to have about 50,000 fans on our show. On our show, because we're going to have this thing going on Facebook Live. It's going to be a hell of a season. And your blogs, man, I can't wait to read them.
Yeah, like it's been fun, and it's been fun to see this thing build from the ground up, and I think it's all engines forward, you know, going from here on out, full steam ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and folks, if you guys were wondering at all, I'm sure some of you were, that maybe we were supposed to be in Dallas. A little communication broke down with management, and that's the only thing. I mean, we were wanting to get down there, but we will definitely go down to Dallas for a football game, maybe a couple games. Even on the visiting end, we may travel somewhere, and we'd love to see you guys out there wherever we're going. I know we got fans wherever we're at, so we'd love to have you guys stop by, and we'll have a booth set up. We'll have a great time. It'll be a kick-ass time, actually.
One of these days, we're going to get it put together, and we're going to, we'll get out there and get, reach some more people on location.
Yeah, this one was awfully close. It just didn't work out, though.
Yeah, it happens. Nothing to worry about.
Nah, we're not going to lose any sleep, and God bless, everything is healthy on our end. Rob, what's been going on with you? Are you pretty pumped up about the season starting off with the New York Giants? How important is the New York Giant game to you?
Well, I think it's obviously every division game is important no matter when it happens. But considering they managed to squeak out two wins against us last year, they made up 67% of our losses last year. I think it'd be a great statement to be able to come out and get a win. Even better if it was, a convincing win, although those are rare. Within the division, they've certainly upgraded, and you just hope that the changes that we've made on the defensive side, it's hard to tell
what position
pan out, especially since
what position are you worried about the most
with the Giants?
No, with our Cowboys on our defensive end.
Okay. Well, there's just so many. I'm worried about it all. You would hope that the defensive line is improved. Those early suspensions are going to hurt with some of the defensive, with the linebacking and then defensive end. But you would hope the defensive line is improved. The linebacking core, as long as, Sean can stay healthy. You like having him back there directing things. But a lot of, the secondary is so young, and Heath, is he going to step up and be an adequate fill-in for Church, if not an improvement? A lot of questions on that side of the ball, and especially in the secondary.
Now, fellas, I'd like to ask you guys, are we looking for still one veteran player on defense that can still rally the troops around, or are we – based on a young team that just energizes together? I mean, you could take this both ways.
Right.
Now, God forbid, if anything happens to Sean Lee's knee or anything this year, I mean, he is the catalyst of this team. He gets this team going defensively. He motivates the entire defensive squad. Let's say, I'm not even want to say it, all right? Let's just say something, all right? But do you look for another veteran to come in?
Right. I think at this point in the offseason here, you kind of are who you are probably going to be. You may be able to pick up a veteran, DB somewhere, because that's probably where we're the youngest. And I mean, our defense is fairly young, right, in the secondary in particular. But at this point, if you're going to be picking somebody up, it's because he's probably been released from another training camp. I don't know the quality of talent that will be available out there. But maybe there is something out there that a veteran guy that can help us through the first, four, five, six games of the season while some of those young DBs get seasoned a little bit. That would be a great fit. I don't know what's out there, what's available. In a perfect world, that's maybe what I would like to see between now and the start of the season. Maybe a veteran, defensive back somewhere that we aren't expecting to carry the load but can at least bring some experience and just help groom some of those young defensive backs like I said, just kind of bridge that gap between now and getting those young guys some good playing time and learning how to play in the NFL.
What do you think about that, Rob? Do you think that we may need one more veteran player back there?
I don't know about need, but I think it would be great. I'd have to agree with Ronnie. If you get somebody that maybe their cut was not so much because of their diminishing ability, but rather their cap hit, maybe. If it was a cost-cutting move, if you get somebody, when Terrence right. Newman left, somebody that's still got the talent, but was too expensive for his team to keep, and they can come in and be a veteran presence and help those young guys along. Fantastic, great, I'm all for it.
And what I was thinking more or less was, if we do lose Damian Wilson, which I'm really thinking it's not looking good for the kid, okay? Right. I'm going to need that other linebacker. I got this guy right now, David Harris, for Baltimore. He used to play for Baltimore. Why not bring him on? He's 33 years old. The guy's played with what? He's played for
Tennessee?
No, he's played for our linebacker Ray Lewis, probably. He's seen
Ravens.
Ravens. He's played for the Ravens, but okay. He's been there with a nice Baltimore defense.
Yep.
I mean, the guy, we could use a guy like that.
No, absolutely. I agree with you. And same goes for the linebacking core, too. Yeah. Any kind of little veteran presence that aren't expecting to carry the load would be a nice addition.
But I do not think we need like a Revis back there.
No.
As a defensive back that's only going to get in the way of these young, brash type of players. I see that being a hold up there, and I'm seeing a lot of Cowboy sites saying, get Revis Island. Are you kidding? It's not an island anymore. It's like Alcatraz. There's nothing happening on that island.
No, I want to see a guy, a veteran guy, a pro's pro that just shows up, does his work, goes home. You know what I mean? Just that type of presence that just, it doesn't have to be flashy, doesn't have to do anything spectacular, but just do his job well. That's
right.
It. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less.
Right, right. I think we're still I would say we need one more piece to that defense. Our defensive line, questionable. I would grade it right now. I would grade it maybe B-. C plus, B minus. What do you guys think?
I would have to. I would probably go in the C range, only because we don't know what they are yet.
So you guys are saying what? C minus, C C solid.
I'll
C
go
plus?
Right in the middle.
I'd say
C.
It would be, average.
So C.
Average, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. C for both of you. Our linebacking crew. Rodney,
that's a tough one. I'm gonna go B+.
B+
with an expectation if Jalen Smith is healthy and flies over the field that they're gonna move
that's
to the
your
A category.
B+, great. Yeah. Okay, and Rob, linebackers.
Yeah, I think I'd go more the solid B, with the caveat of Rodney's. If Jalen Smith is healthy, you got him and Sean Lee in that core. I don't know. Yikes! That I think you'd have to move into the A range with those two. If those two are at the top of their game. That's a pretty good line. That's a pretty good start to your linebacking core.
I think this is the galvanized of our defense here. I think this is what was the 90s of our Cowboys defense with the Ken Nortons and all that. I think that this is what's going to be the base of our Cowboys defense here. I love our linebacking crew. I love Jalen Smith. I think this kid's going to be taking over within a couple years here. I think this is our core. I'm giving this an A-. I think our defensive backs, I'll start this one off, I think they're a bunch of wild, crazed animals like Lawrence Taylor once said.
I hope so.
Bunch of wild, crazed animals. And I like this crew. They're young. They're aggressive. And you know what? They're playing like they're playing like together. I've read about them. I'm watching them preseason and not preseason, but their workouts and all that. They seem like they're having fun. They seem like they're working the good together. And that's something special right there.
So what's your grade for them?
I'm going to say, just because I don't know right now, before even one preseason game, I'm going to give them a C+.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. I agree with you, and I've been saying it for weeks. I want the secondary. I want those guys to be mean and nasty. That's what I want to see out of these guys this year. I want them to play with an edge. I want them to fly all over the place and knock people around. I want them to be feared. That's what I hope out of a young, aggressive core that you're talking about. So my grade, though, yeah, C+, probably, you know, with the expectation. Again, they're young, so they're probably going to start the year as that, you know, in that C+ range with the expectation as they get older. They're going to grow, and hopefully they'll be a strength even by, you know, it'll be a strength by the end of the year.
Right, right. Rob?
Yeah, it'd probably make for more interesting listening if I disagreed, but I think you guys are right on. I think the C+ is perfect. You don't know about them, so I think you start off with the base of just assume that they're average. But I think that based on those things that you guys are saying, and I love that they're young and coming up at the same time, and they can kind of develop that camaraderie and kind of us against the world kind of a thing and feed off each other's energy. I think that pushes them up to the C+.
Now, what is what's our roster? What's it got to be? 53? How many?
53, yeah.
Is it 53? Now,
unless they've changed it, but that's what it's always been, I believe.
Do we keep extra cornerbacks this year? Extra DBs this year?
Like on the practice squad, you mean? Or on the 53 man?
On the 53 man.
Yeah.
Why should I keep? I got four tight ends.
Yeah.
I got four tight ends. I can't keep all four.
No, that'll thin itself out. I think really what it's going to come down to is whether it's a linebacker or a DB or an extra wide receiver even, which one of those or how many of those are going to be special teams players. If you know, those guys are going to have to make an impact on special teams, and if they do, they'll be on the roster.
But the cornerbacks are usually special team. They're on
right.
the kickoff. They're on the punt return. They're
yeah.
doing everything.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. Yeah, no, that's exactly what I mean.
Right.
It's which one of those guys or couple of guys are going to make an impact on special teams.
Right, right. Well, I tell you what, it's going to be interesting. The Giant game, I think, it's so important to get off the ground beating the Giants.
Yep.
It really is, because that can really deflate us, because there's right now this thing about getting – we're looking at a guy that we go golfing with, and there's a 3-foot putt, and we're missing it and because we're with this cat wearing a New York Giant helmet. And we got to get this putt. I mean,
right.
This is – twice they've beaten us, and both times we were supposed to beat the hell out of them.
Yep. No, it's going to be in their mind, good and bad, probably leading up to this game. It's going to be good because they're going to be hungry, looking to, you know, take revenge a little bit. But at the same token, in the back of their mind, it's inevitable, right? It's always going to be in the back of their mind. You know what? These guys took us down twice last year. Maybe we can't beat them. So it's important between now and then to obviously, you know, do your work. Don't worry about all that stuff. But naturally, we're all human. It's still going to be in the back of your mind a little bit.
Rob, how much emphasis do we put on winning in preseason?
Zero.
Zero.
I've never been a fan of worrying about the outcome. I think if you've got to play them, and I'm a proponent of getting rid of a couple of preseason games myself.
Amen.
But I think it's time. It is time for the coaches to evaluate players and just extended practice, basically. So I could not possibly care less about the outcomes of preseason games. In fact, I don't think they should even be called preseason games. I'm in favor of calling them what they are, which is exhibition games.
talent evaluator games. I agree. I would like to see the preseason, you know, be reduced. But I think actually this year, this Cowboy team, the four games will probably be beneficial because look how many tight ends we have and wide receivers we have. It may take four games for the coaches and the staff to really make some of those tough decisions. Again, I'd rather have a tough decision than an easy one, but it takes time. So, right. Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
That's the second time you use that.
I use it probably once or twice a week.
Right. That's good.
It's my calling card.
But, while I love everything about my Cowboys, it just nothing ticks me off more than the only game that might be within reasonable driving distance of my house in a given year might be a preseason game, but I got to pay full NFL price. Like I'm going to the week 14 game,
right?
You know, and I'm going to watch third and fourth string guys won't even be on the team in a couple of weeks, and I'm paying full NFL price. You know, so yeah, it's preseason. I've got all kinds of bitches and moans about preseason.
You know what? That's they know the market though. And that's credit that to Jerry too. I mean, he knew that Rob would still hop in his car and still go out there and still pay that $150 ticket.
I will not
sit in a crappy seat. So
God bless you, Rob. I will not do that. I won't do it anymore. Unless they give it to me, then I'll go.
I buy the NFL package, but I'm gonna say this. I don't even need to buy the NFL package this year because I'm on TV.
Yeah.
I got my Cowboys on TV.
Yep.
How beautiful is that?
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. So,
anyway, my friends, you guys can catch us on CowboysPodcast.com. And, again, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean. Folks, you guys are doing great. You guys are downloading our shows, subscribing, and we appreciate every bit of it. And if there's anything you'd like to – I guess buy on Amazon. You can go through Cowboys Podcast on our website, cowboyspodcast.com. And on your right-hand side, there's Amazon. Click on Amazon. Shop away. You won't see us again. You won't see my face pop up with my, as Steve-O would say, my sausage fingers. I kind of miss him saying that about my sausage finger. I know.
I'm surprised. I'm going to tell him that, though.
Yeah, whatever. Where is he today anyway?
What do they call it? Business.
Business, right.
He's on assignment.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to come up with. He's on assignment.
He's on assignment. All right, my friends, that's our show for this week. We'll check you out next week, and hope you have a great, blessed week, and hope to have you back. That's all that we got to say to that. Hey, thanks a lot, Rob, for being on the show.
My pleasure, fellas.
All right, Rodney. Thanks a lot, man.
Absolutely. Thanks. See you, Rob.
Take care, Cowboy fans.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.